When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Hello all. Welcome to another episode of Armchair Cricket Podcast, a podcast focusing on Test cricket by armchair critics of the game. I'm your host, Ajit. Today, we have with us a friend of the podcast and a star from the Cricket Slouch podcast, Sandeep. Hello, Sandeep. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Ajit. Nice to be back again. As I said, I listen to your podcast every week and you bring along a variety of varied guests who have got interesting opinions. So it's always a pleasure to come on this podcast and share my thoughts.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to have you. You're one of those people that brings very interesting thoughts, very interesting and forthright thoughts, and it helps us. And also our listeners, I think they find it very interesting. So I think we should first talk about the wonderful weather. What has happened? I think we both are experiencing similar weathers. It sort of regressed to late November weather.
Yeah, that's year. True. I don't know. Yeah, absolutely. It's been terrible here in the UK. I mean, yeah. I wish some of the rain goes home to Bangalore, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I was hearing it's 38 degrees there today, one of the highest days of the year already. And it's not yet fully summer as well. So
I know.
And the water shortage is expected. I heard some bad things. I wonder where this is going, really, if you're a resident of those parts, right? That's one of the things. Yeah. And anyway, coming back to the weather here, I had the misfortune or fortune of staying on the field the whole of Saturday. It was a game that I had committed to, and I think towards the evening it was about 8 degrees. It was fun playing. So but nonetheless, we won the game, and that's one part of it. But I mean, the ball was like a rock. There was no chances of any catches being taken. Luckily we were in the field, so we were doing the defending, and I had gotten enough ahead of the game. I had a rude awakening for my own bowling as well. So all that, I think, is auguring well as far as the season is concerned, considering it's a practice game. So how was your last weekend, and maybe did you do anything given the weather?
Actually, the weekend was quite nice, actually. It was quite sunny. And
well, if you're indoors, I guess, it's sunny, no? Or was it also bright outside? So, I mean, I remember, I think about 2 years ago, around the same time, a friend had come. It was probably a little earlier than this. And I remember him telling it's beautiful indoor weather. If photos don't capture the actual essence of the weather. It was so bright, and we had gone to one of these tourist spots, but it was 4 degrees. So one of those days. Coming back to cricket. Well, let's start off with the sort of roundup of the women's cricket that we've been doing over the last couple of episodes, because some very interesting things have happened.
Yeah.
Sri Lankan cricket has once again hit an amazing peak where, you know, Chamari Attapattu, that champion of women's cricket and champion of Sri Lankan women's cricket, has once again done something unbelievable. 195 of 139, and the first ever 300 has been chased down in a women's ODI. Thoughts?
Yes, I mean, I was following this CricBuzz, actually. So, I mean, when South Africa got 300 plus, I thought they would easily win the... I mean, Laura Woolworth got that 184 of 147 deliveries. So I thought that was a good total for them to defend, and didn't expect Sri Lanka. But, I mean, you can never put anything past Chamari Attapattu. I mean, she has done so many things over the years. And she came off with an even better knock than Laura's. She got 195 of 139. She did get some good support from Neelakshi De Silva, who got a 50 as well. But yeah, I mean, the highest ever run chase. And they won it with about five and a half overs to spare as well.
Absolutely.
Which was quite amazing. And I think Chowriathiappattu is the highest highest ones in the run chase actually for women, and the second highest overall behind Glenn Maxwell's 201 against Afghanistan.
Wow,
So
okay.
yeah, it is simply amazing what Chamari is capable of. I mean, I was looking at the top scores by Sri Lankan women, and I think
Absolutely.
the first 7 or 8 of them are all Chowriathiappattu.
First 10
So
are all Chamariatapattu.
yeah,
So it's
exactly.
quite something.
Yeah.
So she's head and shoulders, very literally, above every other batter in Sri Lankan women's team and women's history. It's quite something. And for her to have done it and the ease with which they won, I mean, it was pretty much a one-person show on both sides. Laura Woolward made a 184 not out herself. That itself was an amazing, amazing stat. And considering how they accelerated towards the end, she had good support from Marie-Jeanne Kapp and Nadine de Clercq herself. But then the way they accelerated towards the end, I thought they fell off Sri Lanka, and I thought they'll be disheartened when they started the chase. But they started pretty decently with Chamariatapattu in her proper T20 mode, and the first wicket fell at 90. And from then on, again, it was a one-person army, and then eventually Neelakshi de Silva. And what a partnership in that chase as well, because from 20th over there were no more wickets given, right? So 25 overs they batted together, they finished the game. It sort of, for me, is a bit worrisome if you are a South Africa women's cricket fan. They had almost a full complement of attack, but they couldn't defend 305, and it was almost a disheartening defeat that way. Kudos at this point in time, at least to Sri Lankan cricket, because again, they pull up these amazing results. The men did it a few years back when they won a series, right? A series. Now the women have come away unbeaten as far as series are concerned. They drew the ODIs and they won the T20s. So I don't know if any other, even men's or women's, any other South Asian team has actually done this in South Africa, Sandeep.
I don't think so. I mean, I think this is the first Asian team to do such. It's funny, isn't it? Sri Lanka won the Test series as well. Sri Lankan men, they won the Test series
Correct.
in South Africa, and they are the only ones. India and Pakistan have not achieved it. So,
And it's all been draws with India. So there you go. Right? So that's why I say, no matter all the ups and downs that happen in certain South Asian boards, they are completely, capable of such amazing results. And I think, I don't know, it's not a nice thought to express, I suppose, but sometimes it's that paucity in resources sometimes that produces these sort of results. If they're probably too comfortable, they probably are not going to give such results. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right thing, but at this point in time, we should really appreciate Chamari for her knock. And she's probably in the twilight of her career. And she's achieved a lot for women's game overall and for Sri Lankan cricket, no doubt. And and she played in the WPL. And so she's right at the top of her game. 100 ODIs as well in that series, by the way, for her. So great, great record as far as I'm concerned. And may her and the Sri Lankan women's team go from strength to strength from here. And South African women's cricket will do a little bit of navel gazing, I think. They'll need some introspection because even the ODI series as well as the T20 series, it looked like they should have won it, but they didn't. So it might be a temporary reversal, but I don't know if you see it like that.
I mean, Laura Woolworth, she was the man of the series, isn't it? I mean, she got scores of 41, 110, and 184. So I think South Africa have lost a few players recently, isn't it? So
Right.
I mean, it's been a bit come down from having made the finals of the T20 World Cup last. Not was it the T20 or was it the ODI
It's
World
for
Cup?
the
I think
ODI World Cup, right? This
ODI
was
World Cup,
ODI World
isn't it?
Cup.
Yeah, right. So yeah, so I think they're doing all right. I mean, it was well, they probably would have won if not for Chamariatta in this, and we know what she's capable of, isn't it? So
Absolutely.
I mean, worryingly, I think Chamari has hinted on retirement pretty
Exactly.
soon. And that would be worrying for Sri Lanka. But also, I think it's time that stop relying on one person to deliver them the wins. So that's but I mean, she's now Sri Lanka have got the task of qualifying for the World T20 World Cup because they are playing the qualifier,
Right.
and they have to finish in the top two. That is, they have to reach the final of the qualifier to play the World T20. I think Chamari's focus is on that now. I think that starts in the UAE quite I don't know when, but quite soon, I think.
All right. So indeed,
Yeah.
that will probably be on our forefront of our focus. Also, in ODIs, they are on number 7, and number 6 is a very surprising Indian team. So they both have a long way to go, but India have some games lined up at home, so they'll probably rise up in the rankings. But yeah, all of this, it's a lot of very interesting time in women's cricket to follow. I think if we are a fan of cricket in general and women's cricket specifically, a lot of exciting things are going to happen in the remaining part of this year. So we should keep our eyes peeled, because another result, somewhat of a reversal, I don't know if you would consider it a reversal or just sort of on par, but West Indies, who are currently touring Pakistan in a women's tour, they beat them in the first two ODIs. The first one was a comfortable win. Second one was a real, tight game where they won off the last ball. So in the first game, they batted first. They made 269 thanks to Hayley Matthews, who batted through the 50 overs, made 140. Again, it's pretty much a one-person army, two-person army here. There's Stephanie Taylor. There's Hayley Matthews. Usually, you see these names pretty much prominently in any successful West Indian women's story in the recent years. And it's the same people again here. And when it came to Pakistan women, they couldn't really carry on. There were a bunch of teen scores in 20s, but nobody really stood up. It was a comfortable loss, 100-plus run loss in the first ODI. But in the second one, Pakistan women batted first. And Bisma Maruf made 65, Sidra Amin 50, but then not a lot. And only 223 was what they were able to make. So West Indies came back really strong, thanks to Karishma Ram Harak, Shinel Henry, and Afi Fletcher. Right. And then in the chase, Hayley Matthews made 44, but Stephanie Taylor made 73. Shermaine Campbell, who's actually also made some score in the first ODI, made 52. So that was off the last ball. So that was a real thriller as well. I don't know if you got to catch this at all.
Yeah, I did actually. So, I mean, there is nothing much more to say about Hayley Matthews, really. I mean, she has been absolutely
Indeed.
phenomenal over the last year or so.
Indeed.
Even the against Australia, didn't she? She won a match against Australia, hit a blistering century there as well. So, yeah, I mean, and she is a perfect all-rounder as well. She got 3 for in the first match again, 3 for 17, I think it was. So, yeah, I mean, she is a bit like DeAndre Lawton, isn't it? I mean,
Correct, correct. Good
with regard
comparison.
to, yeah, absolutely. I mean, good contributions from Stefani Taylor and Shermaine Campbell as well. I mean, they have been part of the team for a while now. They were part of that winning team in the 2016 T20 World Cup. So it's nice to see Stefani Taylor in particular coming back and doing well again, reaching the end of a career probably. I think I was quite impressed with the bowling of Karishma Ramrakh, who got a 3 for, and she also scored the winning runs, isn't it? The four,
Yeah,
the
the four
ball.
of the last ball really required
Exactly.
two to win.
Yeah.
Nerves of steel. Wonderfully well done.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it was a very, very thrilling finish to the second match, especially. Pakistan were probably a bit disappointing, I must say. Especially they are playing at home. The first one, first match, they were never in contention at all. Second match they did all right, but again, I mean, it was not a high class performance from them at all, really.
Right. Now, but probably they're going to look to bounce back. One more ODI left, of course, and then the three T20As. Five T20As, actually. And all
Oh,
of them will be in Karachi. The whole
yeah.
series is being held in Karachi. So, yeah, I think they'll look to bounce back hard. There are plenty of games left. And as I said, plenty to play for if you are just, because of the table structure of how it is, the World Test Championship, the World. Championship table for women. It's plenty to do for both these teams, so they'll probably look to capitalize and get the win, even if you might think at least for West Indies, right? They are ninth on the table, Pakistan are fifth on the table, so West Indies will want to win even the last ODI and keep bouncing up the table, while Pakistan will do something to get whatever points they can. They've gotten 16 points from 20 games, Pakistan. West Indies have 12 points from 14 games. So they'll need to bounce back up. So plenty to do here for both teams. So there is some additional pressure, let's just say. So West Indies will not be done with this. Now, moving to the men's section, where again, Pakistan are playing New Zealand in an international tour. First of all, Would you be disappointed if you are Pakistan to get host such a slightly weakened New Zealand team? And did they prove themselves? What do you say?
Well, I mean, I think this is becoming a regular bilateral series during this time of the year. I mean, even if you see last year, Pakistan played New Zealand in five ODIs when IPL was going on. I think Pakistan is, I mean, they are not part of IPL anyway. So, I mean, I think any sort of cricket they would take it at this time. And it's good practice for the World Cup as well.
Correct.
I mean, New Zealand, yes, they are a weak New Zealand team, but they still have some good players. They have Mark Chapman and Seifert is quite good as well.
Right.
And they got Neesham, and then another couple of players who are quite decent. And I think it's a good opportunity for the New Zealand bench strength to make a mark and
Correct.
show that they can make a case for selection for the World Cup as well. So I think it's a good series for both of them, to be fair.
Absolutely. But Captain Michael Bracewell coming off a long-term injury, almost a career-ending injury. And in terms of Pakistan, they have a couple of people that will be keen to prove themselves. Mohammad Amir, for example, right? And Imad Wasim has still not gotten a game, but he will at some point in time, and he'll also want to have his say. There's Usman Khan, who's recently been shut out by UAE for opting to play for Pakistan, and so he'll also want some runs, right? So there's plenty to be had in the sidelines, frankly. Not only the result, of course. In this case, the first one, of course, was rained out after two balls. But then the second one that they played in a five-match series, so it looked like they were 90 all out. And Shaheen Shah Afridi did the star turn, taking a 3-4. Mohammad Amir returned with 2 for 13 as well, and Abrar Ahmed, the spinner, took 2 for 15. So 90 is pretty much nothing, and sort of a right sort of a total if you are sort of slow at the top of the order. So Mohammad Rizwan making 45 and just putting the game to bed. Usman Khan failing there. One of the other people which might want to have, make a point, Ish Sodhi took a wicket in the first T20, but in the second one where there was a reverse. So there are many new names. Zachary Foulkes, we saw Lister, Ben Lister, we saw William O'Rourke. All of these bowlers new in New Zealand lineup. At some point in time, it looked like Pakistan will not even cross 150. But then wonderful hitting towards the end by Irfan Khan and Shadab Khan made sure, Pakistan crossed to 178. From that point on, Pakistan were favorites to win. But then a wonderful chase, wonderful knock, Mark Chapman, 87 of 42. Apparently, he loves the Rawalpindi ground. He's made 100 there. He's come back again, made an unbeaten 87. Did you get a chance to catch this game at all?
Well, I didn't watch it, but I was following on CricBuzz again. So, yeah, I mean, Mark Chapman, absolute blinder of an innings from him to get 87 in some 40 odd balls. But I mean, Pakistan should be disappointed with the way they play at the start. I mean, Babar Azam, I mean, I didn't follow the PSL, but apparently he did quite well in the PSL this year. He got few good knocks and also had a very healthy strike rate apparently, but that has not translated on the international front. That was the problem even before his. I mean, he has not been getting the runs in white ball cricket. Full stop. We are not seeing much evidence of him coming back into form, and I think it was basically Shadab Khan's cameo at the end that helped them to get a respectable fighting total, which was not good enough in the end because of the superb knock from Mark Chapman. I thought Ish Sodhi bowled quite well.
Yes.
He got 2 for 25. I mean, run the ball is fantastic bowling these days. So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
And two wickets to boot. And if you look at the wickets, they were of Usman Khan, and the opener, Saim Ayub, was actually going great guns. So he actually provided the first breakthrough. Sodhi's done well for himself. Bracewell, well, he's not gotten a chance to do much with the bat, but the series is still young. And if you look at the table as well, I mean, if you look at the bigger picture, both these teams will want, as I said, plenty of things to learn, plenty of things to pick up. No Amir in this game. And instead, Nazim Shah was pretty costly. And I think after that point, Abbas Afridi was okay, but then everybody went for runs. Abrar Ahmed went for runs. Shadab Khan got taken for runs. So Shaheem Shafridi, in fact, was taken to the cleaners towards the end. So overall, Mark Chapman actually putting a very strong foot forward. Look, people like, I mean, there are a couple of people whom we may consider to be ahead of him in that race, like Rachin Ravindra and so on, right? A left-hand spinner, a left-arm spinner who can bat in the top of the order. But somehow, Rachin Ravindra seems to be hurting his chances more, right? And if you look at it, he's not done a whole lot. Maybe by playing for the national team and doing a sort of staying away from the air quotes IPL limelight, probably Mark Chapman's doing better, right? So he's doing no harm to his chances whatsoever. But yeah, all right, there's plenty of water to come before the T20 World Cup, I must say. But these people are putting very strong performances here. That's good to see if you're New Zealand. From there, couple of other teams who might be interesting when it comes to the World Cup, if you switch over to the associate cricket scene. So Canada and USA, we were jokingly saying this is the oldest cricket rivalry.
It is
They are
actually.
playing a T20A series. Initially, when we spoke in the previous episode, US had led the series 2-0. The third one got abandoned, but they completely wiped the board. They won the series 4-0. Is that a surprising result for you at all?
Well, considering all that is going on in USA cricket at the moment, I probably yes. But I mean, it was quite a great finish for USA, finishing fourth. There's 4-0. Interestingly, Nitish Kumar, who was the former Canada captain,
Right.
he played the last match, made debut for USA this
US,
time.
right?
Yeah,
Yes.
and he got 64 of 38 deliveries, which so it's paying back time for the old team, really. So,
Okay.
yeah, and Corey Anderson, the retired New Zealand player,
Right.
now playing for USA. He got a 55 as well. I mean, if you remember, Corey Anderson held the record for the fastest ODI century for some time,
Correct.
beating Shahid Afridi's record. So yeah, so it was, and Nitish Kumar and Steven Taylor, they used to be in opposite teams right from the age of 12 or 13, apparently. Now they're on the same side now after having been rivals for all these years. So Nitish Kumar played way back in 2011 World Cup as well, in the in India.
Correct.
Yeah, so he made his debut versus Zimbabwe apparently then. So yeah, so nice to see him playing for USA
He was a
now.
real teenager then, 15 years and
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
right? So
Exactly.
now, yeah,
Yeah.
he switched allegiance. And well, maybe Canadian cricket has gone through a lot of ups and downs, and for this guy to actually switch allegiances probably makes sense. Also, there's now a thriving club cricket scene with MLC, minor and major league cricket. So maybe he can earn a living there. So it's understandable, though you might not like it if you are a purist, but that's how things go. And he's actually now playing for US, and he did a star turn in that last one. And two people you would have wanted to see some performances out of, Corey Anderson as well, sort of showing he still has the chops for international cricket. We'll see an interesting US team, but they'll be coached by a very interesting personality as well. Stuart Law has taken up the role
That's right.
behind
That's
the scenes. Right.
an interesting move, actually. I mean, Stuart Law has got a lot of pedigree. I mean, he has been coach for a number of years. He has coached Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, West Indies, Afghanistan. So that I think it's a good choice for USA to pick such an experienced coach, especially as they're playing the T20 World Cup at home now. Canada being one of their opponents in the group stage.
Correct.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a good appointment for USA, especially as the players will be playing at home, and a good show from them will go a long way in promoting cricket in their own country as well. I think Stuart Law first assignment is the Bangladesh series in Texas that's happening probably in May, I think.
Correct.
So
That's also a good preparation for them. And do you think Stuart Law, who's come from a very, very set, very big establishment, will he be able to bring that same energy? And more importantly, will his experiences really matter for US? Because this is a different challenge, right? It's a different kettle of fish.
it is. I mean, to be fair, I mean, Yes, coached Afghanistan. So that's, I mean, one of the, it used to be one of the associate teams before. And he coached
Correct.
Bangladesh way back in 2009 or 10, I think. So, yeah, so he has experience of coaching what you would call as minor teams. So I think, I mean, I think it's a good appointment, to be fair.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's see if he's going to make a difference. At least he has a pedigree and he has a lot of experience behind him. And now he has a very good set of players to work with who are actually well drilled as well, right? So both these teams, I think I look forward to them in the coming months. Let's see how they perform. From there, if we go to the denouement of the ACC Men's Premier Cup 2024, well, in the previous episode leading up to the finals and semifinals, I had predicted it'll be Oman versus Nepal in the final and Nepal will win. But that didn't really transpire because Nepal lost in the semifinal to UAE, who are the eventual champions. And they couldn't even finish third. Hong Kong beat them to the punch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was very interesting result. And unfortunately, hosts Oman lost in the final. They played really well. But in the final, sort of leading up to the final, UAE had some players speaking. But their captain, their talisman, Mohammad Wasim, was sort of quietish. You were worried he might do something like this, very Gilchrist-like. And he did that in the final. He scored 100 of just 56 balls. Ended up, leading UAE to 204, which in most finals, even if it is were to be a IPL final, is quite a big total. And they couldn't really mount a serious chase. Their top order fell away, Oman. They've had a very, fruitful couple of months, but from 5 for 54, there was no way back, right? And that's it. They fought well and they didn't give up, but then it was sort of just waiting to see how many runs they lose by. That's how it happened because I caught the ending of the first innings where Mohammad Wasim hit out, and he's a big six hitter, this guy, and he's hit a lot of sixes, and he did the same, seven sixes in this final as well. So, big match player, good to see. Also, something you'll be really happy if you are an associate cricket fan. And another team that we'll see in the World Cup, Sandeep.
Yeah, that's right. I think, I mean, UAE really raised the level in the knockout stages, isn't it? I mean, to beat Nepal and also
Right.
Oman had such a good campaign, but lost in the final hurdle. So yeah, I mean, the reward for UAE for winning this is a direct berth in the Asia Cup. So they get to go there. They missed out on the World Cup qualification though, so they won't be at the World
Ah,
Cup.
right. Nepal will be there though. Yeah.
Nepal and Oman will be in the
Oman
World
will be
Cup.
there. Correct, correct.
That's
Yeah,
right.
my bad. No, but both those games, they sort of beat them in very comfortably, in very one-sided way. So maybe they're making a point that they peaked a bit late, but they're still very good. You can't really, write them off. But okay, in the coming 2 or 3 years, if the cycle continues, maybe we'll see them in the World Cup next time. Right? So
That's
that's
right.
great news.
Yeah, and
And well done.
please for Hong Kong as well to finish third.
Yeah,
I mean,
third, right? Yeah.
that's right. So they get to go to play in the ACC Emerging Teams Cup in Sri Lanka in December, along with Oman and UAE as well.
Correct.
So
I
that's.
mean, Nepal, I don't know what happened. Maybe they suffered a temporary blip because they were really peaking. I think in this tournament, one of Nepal players hit six sixes, right? At the starting of this tournament, if I'm not wrong.
That's right, yeah.
Right? So from that high to completely lose the plot, not even make the final, but that can happen. I think it's the pressure. They are going to learn to deal with it. It's one of the things you have to learn to deal with as a major team. Probably it's a good learning experience if you are a Nepal team. The bigger prize has already been secured, and they'll find a way to come to Asia Cup maybe once if they miss out. Yeah, it's a price you pay, I suppose. Right? All right. Those were all the, let's say, the international cricket we wanted to discuss. Now we are going on to the club cricket scene. So I think the big club cricket tournament is currently going on, Sandeep. Would you like to maybe give us an idea of what your impressions are? I think in the IPL currently, well, some of the fancy teams that started very strong, and usually there is a little bit of a stutter in the middle. You see GT going through that, Gujarat Titans, right? But Sunrisers Hyderabad, under the captaincy of Cummins and that strong, strong batting lineup, and KKR. They are surprisingly in the top three. So you want to shed some light on this?
Yeah, I mean it's still not yet halfway through the IPL now, isn't it? I mean,
Just about, just about.
just about
Yeah.
halfway, so a lot of things can happen from here. Although RR and SRH and KKR seem to be doing pretty well at the moment, but the other, I mean, apart from RCB, I think the rest of them still have a chance of making it to the, at least getting that fourth spot, really. So they're all in the race still. So I mean, I think SRH is, I mean, in the last couple of matches they have been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, their top order is, I think their top order is what RCB was hoping to be by.
Right,
So,
right.
I mean, the way had, I mean, especially the last match against DC, I mean, the match was won in the first power play, isn't it? Head the way Head and Abhishek smashed 125 runs in just 6 overs, and the
Absolutely. I
match
don't
was,
know what is
yeah.
going on with head.
Well,
What does he
yeah.
eat for breakfast? I ask myself from time to time. I mean, 100 within 6 hours or 7 hours, then the next match. I had not got to see those games. I was not even able to believe what's going on. I mean,
Exactly.
the brutality that the bowlers are facing. I'm wondering if many of them are already thinking, why did they even choose to become bowlers, right? Maybe they're
Exactly.
already thinking of becoming all-rounders or whatever. So the brutality with which they played, at least it augurs really well if you're an Australia cricket fan as well. This guy is something special, something really special in his makeup and in his mindset. Travis said I wanted to highlight him in this episode. He stands up when the crunch comes. Big game player. We saw him do well in the World Cup semi-finals, finals. And then also test matches, we've seen him do really well when the chips are down. Fantastic player. And Abhishek Sharma is playing really well. And okay, Klaassen has sort of flagged a little, but I think he'll pick it up again in a couple of matches. So if you look at the bigger picture, right? So teams like GT started really well. And then Lucknow Super Giants also were all right. They both have flagged a little, but Kolkata Knight Riders are sort of beginning to pick up at the right time. Their West Indian contingent has begun to do really well. Sunil Narayan sort of showing, he's not a spent force. Probably it was a good audition when Sunil Narayan bowled to Roman Powell and got him out in that match. I don't know if you saw where Roman
Yes, I
Powell
did.
from RR, it was a very crucial 17th over where he got hit for 2 sixes, but he dismissed him.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that.
Right? So.
It's been a turnaround for Sunil Narayan, isn't it? I mean his bowling was never in doubt, but I mean his batting was, I mean it's, he has not done nothing much in the last 2 or 3 seasons, I would say. And suddenly he's back with the batting as well. I mean the 109 that he scored, I mean, in a lost cause, of course, but I mean still it was 109 in 50 odd balls, which was
Correct.
absolutely amazing. I mean, he has even hinted that he's open to a recall into the West Indies team,
Yes.
which would be good. I mean, he has retired officially, but I mean that doesn't mean he can't come back. So yeah.
That one. But also, I think Josh Butler played a gem of an innings to win
Oh
a
yeah.
game for RR previously, just a couple of games ago. And we can't forget that was not a game that looked like RR had any business winning,
Yeah,
right?
that's true.
It's fantastic the way Josh Butler played. And just to compliment him, to today's game, Yashasvi Jaiswal has played and got 100. He was completely quiet. He had a blockbuster of his test series against England, and sort of I think he was recovering from that. But after KKR got flattened by Josh Butler, today it was the turn of Mumbai Indians who got flattened by Jaiswal. So first of all, it was a game in Jaipur where 180 is not a safe score anymore, right? I mean, RCB discovered it, I can say, but RCB discover 180 is not a big score anywhere in the world, I think. That doesn't matter. But we'll get to RCB shortly. But what did you make of today's game, Sandeep?
I think it was absolutely brilliant from Jaiswal. I mean, very happy to see him back in the runs again. It was just a matter of time. Man of his class can't keep be kept quiet for too long, and he proved his mettle again today. But I thought Sandeep Sharma bowled excellent today. He got 5 for 18.
Correct. Correct. That was the difference, I thought. I mean, Even in the last over, he got three dot balls, which were wickets, basically. As far as I'm concerned, that those are dot balls that count higher than wickets, but a 5-4 is always a 5-4, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, I mean, and as you said, I mean, Butler played an absolute gem of an innings against KKR the other day. He played the anchor role to perfection. I mean, that's what an anchor should be doing, isn't it? To see the match through. And that's what he
Oh, but
did.
he they hit because there were, I think, 50-odd runs required in 3 overs, and they managed that.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
there was a meltdown from KKR
Yeah.
with the bowling, and basically they ensured that the hitting, the clean hitting, going into the last over, 19 runs odd required, there was
Yeah.
no doubt this guy would do it, and he did it.
Yeah, he did. And he
That was
refused a
crazy.
couple of singles as well and still did
Correct.
it. But yeah,
Well,
so I mean, they look very pretty at the moment with Jaiswal, Butler, Sanju Samson,
right.
Riyan Parag has been a revelation this year, isn't it? I mean, he is absolutely brilliant. And also,
Roman Powell is quiet. Shimron Hetmyer has done a bit,
Hetmyer has been a bit, yeah.
and the spinners are okay. So speaking of their
Chahal.
spinners, Chahal, exactly. He
Chahal, yeah.
took a wicket. He was costly, but then he's the first bowler to take 200 IPL wickets,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's an amazing feat as well. I mean,
right?
Chahal is ex-RCB, so that's other than we let him
Well,
go.
don't worry. I mean, that's the point. I think you have to go through RCB and then you discover your potential. You discover what is missing. It's almost RCB is the pre-finishing school, not the finishing school. I think they say CSK is the finishing school, right? So, but speaking of other teams, I think we will get to RCB at the end. But speaking of other teams, CSK also are not doing as well as they would like. MI not so much. MI sort of are waking up, but then you may see these two real big teams miss out. Because in the running, LSG is in the running, CSK is in the running, Mumbai Indians have fallen a bit behind. GTR sort of waking up out of nowhere. I mean, I'll be frank, I think RCB stand no chance. Not even, I mean, there may be a
Absolutely.
mathematical chance, but I'm not counting that at all.
No.
Right? So if you look at the table at this point in time, Rajasthan Royals number one, Kolkata Knight Riders two, and Sunrisers three.
Yeah.
Four is Chennai Super Kings, so if you just leave it like this, CSK make it.
Yeah.
Then Mumbai Indians have this defeat will cost them because that means they only won 3 out of 8.
Yeah.
Punjab Kings have left way too much to do. They're out. I dare say Delhi Capitals are also out. So if you leave the bottom three, which will be RCB, Punjab Kings, and Delhi Capitals,
Yeah.
so the real challenge for CSK here will be from Gujarat Titans and Lucknow Super Giants, I dare say.
Yeah, that's right.
So at this stage, do you see out of these 5 to 6 teams, let's just say Rajasthan have made it. They already have 14 points. They're probably through. I don't see them failing to make the qualifiers. It's a question
Yeah.
of whether they'll make the first and second. I dare say Kolkata will probably win one or two that they require. So Sunrisers Kolkata. Then who's your fourth team to
Yeah.
make the knockouts?
Probably CSK, but I mean, I won't rule out the others either. I mean, LSG, GT, even Mumbai, I won't rule them out completely. I mean, Mumbai are, I think they're quite hampered by Hardik Pandya. He has been a
I
liability.
was about to ask you about him. He's not done much of note, either with
No.
the bat or the ball. He opened with the bowling today, but
Yeah.
got nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at their paths, let's look at CSK's path. They have Lucknow Super Giants, right?
Yeah.
And Sunrisers have RCB. And if you look at Mumbai Indians, they have DC, LSG again. So
Yeah.
probably they'll end up knocking out each other, LSG and Mumbai Indians.
Probably, yeah.
Right? If that means, CSK will go through. But then Gujarat Titans have a couple of easy games if RCB is an easy game. And Gujarat Titans again. So they'll play RCB twice. So maybe they'll make the most of it. Right? And okay. I think we've kept the elephant out of the room long enough. I think it's time to invite it. RCB. What happened? How did they lose by 1 run? I mean, frankly, I was surprised they came that close. I thought they lose by like 18 runs. But Karan Sharma woke up in the last over. But what happened in those last 2 balls? 3 runs, 2 balls. Stark really under the sword. And Karan Sharma, I don't know what happened. All he had to do was even run a single. That would have been enough, right, at that stage.
I mean, to be fair, it was a great catch by Mitch Stark.
Correct, correct. He took it out of nowhere.
That's
And
right.
I think, I mean, sometimes percentage cricket, even under those extreme circumstances, that's where I give credit for somebody like Dinesh Karthik, actually. And Josh Butler as well. So you never forget that there is a percentage cricket that will still help, even a single at that stage, right? Probably Karan Sharma thought there's no point in exposing Siraj. because Siraj was the other guy on the crease, and he thought there's no point in exposing Siraj, so he went for a big shot. And Stark really pulled out a complete blinder for somebody 6'5" to bend all the way down and take such a catch.
That was absolutely brilliant.
Right. So that was that one ball. But Stark, overall, for the price he has commanded, are you happy if you are the owner of KKR?
No, not at all. I mean, 24 crore for, I mean, he has been very average, let's put it that way. I mean, he almost lost the match for them yesterday as well. But I mean,
Yeah, that's the
apart
way
from
to
that,
put it, I suppose.
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think Stark has deserved the money that he has been thrown towards him. But I mean, RCB will be disappointed with their match yesterday because, I mean, they were well within a chance, especially when Will Jacks and Pattidar were playing. I mean,
Correct.
they're 137 by the end of the 11th over with just two
Correct.
wickets down, and they should have won from there. But I mean, I think they lost their way after Pattidar and Jacks fell in succession, and
That's the
then
problem, isn't it? Again,
yeah,
same
that's true.
story.
And then they, I mean, even then, I mean, with Dinesh Karthik in there, they should have got the last few runs. But I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, Karthik was a bit criticized for not declining the singles and not letting Karan Sharma take the strike, which in hindsight, it looks.
Well, it's tough to doubt that guy simply because he has a method. I mean, I sort of gave him some credit earlier on. In the same game, maybe he has made that mistake, what we were discussing. But we don't know if it would have really transpired that he would have won them the game. If he stayed in the last over and he hit another boundary or whatever, but if and but, how did RCB find themselves with air quotes such a talented squad, with Glenn Maxwell asking to be dropped and Pathidar somehow hanging on? Such a talented lineup, at least with the bat. I'll not go with the ball, what's going on. That's a too deep a hole to dig oneself out of. What's happening? Why are they unable to even secure one or two victories? There have been a couple of tight losses, I'll give them that, right? But then where are the obvious wins? Where are the big wins which they used to get every season? I mean, why is every alternate season this bad for RCB? I mean, you're a long-term RCB suffering fan, just like me. Any thoughts?
Well, I think it just doesn't. I mean, Faf du Plessis has been a shadow of his self, isn't it? I mean, he's not done much
Correct. Correct.
this year. Then Virat Kohli is Virat Kohli. He does what he does. And I think Maxwell not performing this time has affected us quite badly as well. Bowling has always been an issue. So, I mean, we have let. Is it Hasaranga that we let go this time? I mean, he's not playing
Yes.
anywhere,
Yes.
but anyway, we let
He
him
got
go.
injured. Okay. Maybe it looked like a good decision in the hindsight now, but yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Alzari Joseph, we got for 11 crore. And I mean, Alzari is a good bowler, but I re don't rate his white ball skills that high. He's an excellent red ball bowler, but was he worth 11 crore?
I
I don't
mean,
know. I mean, some people say he was, but.
frankly, I think Alzari needs a strong presence on the field. He has the talent, no doubt, but I think he requires a very strong presence on the field, a very, a forceful personality that can tell him what needs to happen. At least he's at that stage of his career. Probably he should have gotten over that hump, but he's there. Where a strong leader on the field, a strong experienced bowling leader will tell him what needs to happen, and he will execute it. Right? It's like Ishan Sharma, what they used to say, or even Wasim Akram, what they used to say when Imran Khan was at long on or mid on, and Zahir Khan was at mid on for Ishan Sharma. And they used to sort of do the thinking, and this guy did execution and eventually understood the thought process. Right? Somebody will need to be there. I mean, what made Alzari Joseph a good bowler is only when he had good support or experienced seasoned support on the field. In theory, he should have that. With RCB, he has Siraj, right? I don't know how the communication happens. Yash Dayal on and off. I think Alzari played only a couple of games, all of which he went for a lot of runs. The spin contingent is almost absent. Karan Sharma and Mayank Daggar, I don't know what he's going through. I don't think he's been given enough games. I think they did
No,
the same for Shahbaz Ahmed. Glenn Maxwell absent both with the bat and ball. Cameron Green a failed experiment.
I think it's players not clicking at the same time. I mean, last year Maxwell and Faf did well, but Dinesh Karthik was doing very badly last year, and now it's other way around, isn't it? So,
Correct. But also, I don't think they're using Will Jacks, the bowler, very well. He's a very canny bowler, right? And they're not using him enough. So, but all these are like, again, ifs and buts. Probably the 11 that they put out should win them every game. It's just they don't turn up.
No.
It's a very tough thing to understand, but okay, probably some books will be written on the mindset of what happens. Anyway, that's another thing. You want to add something?
Just some bit on the impact sub rule. I mean,
Ah,
Rohit
yes.
Sharma.
I remember you telling me offline. Rohit Sharma is not a big fan, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, Rohit Sharma said that it hampers the growth of all rounders. And
Correct.
also, it has been backed by people like Akshar Patel, Mukesh Kumar, etc., who have also said the same things. But Ganguly, on the other hand, believes that a good all-rounder will still play. He quoted the example of Rashid Khan,
Correct.
saying
Absolutely.
that regardless of, it's not, I mean, good all-rounders are going to get in no matter what. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is just the IPL thing, isn't it? It's not there in the international
No,
level at
they're
all.
probably considering it, but don't know if it'll come through. Yeah.
So, if India are wanting to develop quality all-rounders, I know IPL, I don't know whether it is there to develop Indian players or not, but I mean, if that's
It should
the
be.
idea, is it entertainment or is it to develop Indian players? We don't know. Anyway, but if that's the idea, then it's not a very good thing, really. But if it is entertainment and if the impact player sub is means that big scores, well, fair enough. But I mean, entertainment is not all about big scores, isn't it? I mean, maybe for the casual fan, who with the ball disappearing into the crowd 100 times a day might be a very nice thing. But I mean, for people who follow cricket, there should be a good balance between bat and ball. I mean, there are a lot of low score matches that we enjoy watching. So,
Look,
that's
herein is the story, right? When you think of impact sub and batting impact sub, let's talk about that. So there are people like M. Shahrukh Khan, who you thought would really, really benefit from this sort of a bo opportunity where all the pressure is taken off him. He's given 10 balls, but maybe he requires more time, and maybe now he feels wasted because he's hardly played 10 balls, 15 balls all tournament, I might say. It gives him no chance to show anything. On the other hand, you had people like Liam Livingstone, who was sort of made for this sort of a role, if required, right? You plug him in when whether you need the bowling or the batting, and he'll deliver. On the other hand, people like Ashutosh Sharma have really, really, Shashank Singh, they have really benefited from this, where they have done really well for Punjab Kings. So it's sort of a tough thing to justify. And I think once or twice Mumbai and CSK used bowling plugins very well. Those Right. So some teams who think this through better are actually able to get the most out of it. In overall picture, I tend to agree it's probably a little bit harmful for the pure players develop. But then when you talk of IPL, we know that people like Ashutosh Sharma, all of these people are actually shining, and people like Dhruv Jurel sort of came into the focus because of IPL, right?
That's right.
Also Rinku Singh. Right, Tevatia, who knows? We may see more of him. People like Sai Sudarshan now, right? And even Devdutt Padikkal, who sort of kept burnishing his credentials in the IPL and then showing up in the Ranji Trophy. We'll see if, in the bigger picture, it should definitely help Indian cricket. But when you think of only the Super Sub, I think it might not be the most effective experiment if you're thinking of a player's career overall. But then teams that know how to use this role, I think Dinesh Karthik would be a fantastic super sub as well, if you think about it. Right? RCB can keep with somebody else, but then he can be plugged in when required and he'll do the job. Something like that. So, yeah.
I mean, when they announced it last year, I was open to the idea. I mean, let's see how it goes. But I mean, I'm not such a big fan now, to
Ah,
be
but yeah, you've seen
fair.
two seasons of it being used. Maybe we see a bit more. Let's see how it comes. That leaves IPL behind us. You had another couple of interesting coaching appointment related news. Walsh has taken up a very interesting role, you were saying.
Yes. So Walsh has become Courtney Walsh, the famous West Indian fast bowler. He has taken up the coaching consultant for Zimbabwe's women's side. So Zimbabwe women have never played the World Cup, so they are trying to enter the World Cup for the first time. The World Cup qualifiers are in UAE. I mean, Walsh has got quite a good coaching credentials. He helped the West Indies reach the semi-final in the 2022 World Cup.
Correct, correct.
And in the past, he has also been the bowling coach for Bangladesh. And if you consider Courtney Walsh as a player, I mean, his work ethic was extraordinary. So I think that's a good appointment from Zimbabwe. If the plan is to get into the World Cup, I mean, it's not going to be easy because only the top two teams from the World Cup qualifiers go into the World Cup. So they will have to reach the finals to do that. But I think it's a good appointment for them.
Right. So let's see if he's able to inject that experience and that work ethic, what you said, into Zimbabwe women's cricket. And at least the men are sort of lagging. Let's see if the women are able to, women are able to make up that little bit of hollow that we feel whenever we think of African cricket and Zimbabwe's role in that. Before we close out, I think we have to think of a couple of stalwart English players who left us between the two episodes. One of them is Derek Underwood, the other is Raman Subba Rao. I think when it comes to Derek Underwood, his genius on uncovered pitches is very, very talked of. What we don't really talk of is his longevity, right? 900 games plus for Kent. He was Kent, they said. And more than 2,500 wickets from 1963 to 1987. And he already had 1,000 wickets by 25 years. That's quite something, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, I started watching cricket in 1981 when England toured India, and Underwood was part of the team, so I did watch a bit of Underwood. I mean, it was a very boring series, to be fair. I mean, India won the first test match, and then there are five draws, all of which were very boring.
Correct.
But what I do remember of Underwood is this unusually long run up for a spinner.
Correct.
I mean, that's all I remember. I didn't see him bowling in his prime, really. So, but yeah, 297 test wickets, supposed to be very unplayable on damp wickets, apparently. So that would have helped. I mean, Ajit, if you said that you were playing in 8 degree the other
Correct.
day, so Underwood would
Correct.
have been devastating on such a pitch, I would imagine. So,
No, you're right, actually. All you need to do is let the pitch do whatever it needs to do, and you pitch the ball on the length. Right.
So I think they still talk about the Ashes series of 1968, which he helped square the series by taking 4 wickets in 27 deliveries or something towards the end of the day five.
Correct.
And so, and one of the English players to get picked for the Kerry Packer series, I mean, he must have been elite, really, because Kerry Packer went for the best players.
Correct.
And his career ended when he went on the Rebel Tour of South Africa. So that's how it ended. But I mean, yeah, good career. And unfortunate that he passed away recently. May he rest in peace.
Absolutely. Time catches up with the best of us. So it did with Derek Underwood. 78 is not a bad innings if you are a professional sports person, right? So well done to him, and may his soul rest in peace. Another person, a quick mention, Raman Subba Rao, who did not have a very big career at the top, but had a long stellar career as an administrator for Surrey. And we also wish condolences, or we give our condolences to his friends and family, and may he rest in peace.
I think he was 92 years old. He was very much part of the
He
TC.
was the oldest living cricketer, oldest living English cricketer, that is.
He was part of the TCCB, as it was known then. And I think he played a big role during the Mike Gatting and Shakur Rana
Oh
episode.
yeah. 87.
That's right. He basically forced Gatting to write an apology to Shakur Rana, so that the match could go ahead, because Shakur Rana refused to take the field if Gatting didn't apologize.
All
And
right.
then at the end of the series, he gave £1,000 bonus for every English player for the hardship that they face.
All right.
That was,
Carrot and stick. All right. Nice to hear.
And then he was a match referee as well, isn't it?
Yes.
And I think he was the match referee during the India South Africa series in 2000, which led to lots of match fixing allegations, Hansi Kwame. So, yeah.
Unfortunate. Yes. I mean, probably not a lot you can do from the sidelines, but yeah, it's not a
No.
good recollection if you're involved in that event. But
That's
all
right.
right, he did quite a lot for
Yeah.
furthering cricket in England and
Yes.
elsewhere, I'm sure. So
Yeah.
may his soul rest in peace.
Yes.
All right, those are all the news stories that we wanted to discuss in this episode. Wonderful to have you again with us,
Oh,
Sandeep, as always, and very
yeah,
nice
welcome.
talking to you, talking cricket
Thank
to you. Then, would you have anything to plug for us, Sandeep?
you. No, I mean, as I said, I am on Twitter or X, as we call it now. My handle is at sportsfan3791. Don't ask me why 3791. It's just a random set of numbers. So, I tweet occasionally. I'm not a prolific tweeter, but people can catch me there if for any cricket-related discussions.
Course, but also your role as a more or less a fixed co-host of the Cricket Slouch podcast, of which I got a chance to be a co-host or a guest co-host this weekend, and we had a long old natter 2 hours plus. So that's another thing I would like to plug on behalf of Sandeep. Wonderful podcast, and if you're listening to us, great job SP as a host as well. I think we enjoyed sort of down the memory lane sort of discussion about Indian cricket. And
Yes,
sometimes you need a
absolutely.
bit of that. It was a wonderful Sunday morning, if for
Yeah.
the both of us, I'm sure, Sandeep.
It was,
All right. So we would like to also say a thank you to all our listeners who keep us going, who give us the right sort of motivation. If you are here with us, we hope to also have you in the upcoming episodes, your company. Thanks a lot for that. We wish you a good day wherever you may be listening from. Thanks a lot, and a goodbye.
thank you. Goodbye.
This is the Armchair Cricket Podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.